buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison and Jace Brown joining you on a Thursday in Knoxville, Tennessee. 865-288-3131 if you want to join in on our conversation today. Jace, how are you? Pulling a little double duty today, on the drive earlier.
Yeah, I had to, you know, skip a little class earlier, but it wasn't nothing too much important. So
a little,
had a blast with the drive, guys.
Me as well. Fun to double dip here on Fan Run Radio. Big episode ahead of us today as we will talk about the Vols officially landing Darlinstone Dubar. Also talk about the 76ers cooling off the early heat from Miami last night. And as always, we'll give our best bets at the end of the hour. A lot to stay tuned here for on hour number one of overtime. But first things first, presented by the 37 Club, which provides access to unique content, exclusive events, private communities, and special discounts on Fan Run merchandise. Join on fanrunradio.com today. And today's first topic is Vols officially land Darlinstone Dubar. University of Tennessee heads men basketball coach Rick Barnes announced Thursday the signing of Hofstra transfer guard Darlinstone Dubar, the 2023-24 second team All-CAA designee, will join the Volunteers in the 2024-25 season with 1 year of eligibility remaining. A 6'8", 211 Dubar comes to Tennessee after three seasons at Hofstra and one at Iowa State. He owns 1,359 points and 580 rebounds in his four-year career, good for averages of 11.7 and 5.0 per game, respectively. Dubar owns a career field goal clip of 52.3%, really efficient stuff there, on 8.7 attempts per game, including a 38.1% three-point ledger on 3.5 shots per contest. He has scored in double figures 72 times in 116 outings, with 15-plus in 41 occasions and 20-plus in 16 affairs. In addition, he possesses 10 double-doubles. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina, played for B. Mays, which is a AAU team here in Knoxville, B. Mays Elite. So kind of coming back to his hometown here or around it. And last year for Hofstra, 17.8 points per game, 6.8 rebounds per game, 1.4 assists, 1.2 steals, 0.9 blocks, averaged about 35 minutes a night, I should say. Shot 53.9% from the floor on 12.5 attempts per outing, including a stellar 40% from three last season. We talked to Justin Gainey on the drive in the last hour, and one of the questions I asked him was about Dubar. You know, what do you think he brings to the table? What do you think how do you think his game will relate at the Power 6 level? And he's saying a lot of the things that I agree with. Dubar, to me, is an ideal four for this team. Can catch it off the create a shot off the off a pass. Can score well around the cup, and a really good defender as well. Underrated. So Dubar to me is a perfect guy to fill in that four in the starting lineup. Josiah Jordan-James leading, a guy that had plenty of experience, plenty of leadership. Dubar kind of has those same things. So I think it's a perfect fit. Demonstrated last year at Hofstra that he's efficient. And that's one big thing in college basketball. You've got to be efficient. Dubar is very efficient from the three-point line and inside. The only knock on him for me, got a little bit of a wonky windup into his shot. But if he's coming off a catch-and-shoot situation, usually that's not going to be too big of a deal. He's not a big off-the-dribble scorer, but I think you can find a guy, hint Chaz Lanier in the portal, that can be that guy for you. So in my idea, I think that Dubar is a perfect fit for this team. What does Dubar bring to the table in your eyes?
I think, like you said earlier, I think something that he brings that is a little bit overlooked is the defense. I mean, like you said, this guy's 6'8", 211. I think he slots right into that four spot. Brings a little bit more size than Josiah Jordan James was able to give you, but sort of has that same sort of mentality. He's a guy that can guard 1 through 5. I mean, he's a pretty quick defender, and like I said, lengthy, got long arms. So I think being able to contest shots against just about anybody that you put him up against, I think that's going to be a positive for the defense as well. And on the offensive side, like you said, being efficient is something that is huge in college basketball. I mean, we saw Dalton connect in games where he was efficient and where he wasn't. When he was, I mean, he wasn't taking that many shots. He was taking maybe 12 to 15 and converting on 8, 9, 10 of those, and he would put up some really great numbers. And then on his off nights and stuff like that, we'd see him put up close to 20 shots, that is, and really wasn't able to put as much pressure on the defense as one would usually see from Dalton Connect. So I think bringing a guy like that that can stretch the floor on offense, score at all three levels, like you said, he shoots from almost 40% from three, can get it to the rack. I think that's just something, or some level of, you know, just variety that he brings to the offensive side of the ball. That's also going to be really nice to see for a Vol off on the offense.
So Dubar scored in double figures in 31 of the team's 33 contests, each of which he started, while notching 16-plus points in 21 of them, 20-plus in 12 of them, and 24-plus in 7 matchups, twice scored 30 points, first doing so on a 12-of-16 shooting night against Buffalo in a invitational in Florida. Then 11-of-14 at Stony Brook on January 22nd, adding 11 rebounds to that night. And he's had some competition very similar to what Tennessee will be facing off against. Played against Duke in December, 24 points, 7 of 11 from 3 in that matchup. And against St. John's, 23 points, 10 of 17, field goal ledger. And again, one of the things I asked Coach Gainey was, okay, he's been really good at Hofstra and the CAA, but that's not the SEC. How do you think his game will translate to the Power 6 level? And he said, look, he's been doing this for a majority of his career. He started off at Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's a Big 12 team that's in a very competitive conference. He's been in these situations before. So he thinks it will translate very well, and I think it will too, especially in this Vols lineup and the way the Vols play now, a little bit more modern style.
Right.
If you've got him around the perimeter, I think he fits in really well. Not the go-to guy, I don't think, but a nice piece, a nice guy to have on the court as well that can add some three-point shooting, that can add some defense, that can add that experience.
Right.
I think his game will translate well. You saw a couple outings against Duke and St. John's that backed that up, and a really good season at Hofstra. I think his game will translate. What do you say?
I agree. I think if, you know, Tennessee comes in with the mindset of playing to his strengths, you don't want to get him out there in an uncomfortable situation, maybe someplace that he's not used to being. I think where he can set up, like you said, off of a pass from three, I think that's going to be really something that the Vols can hone in on the offensive end. And on defense, just letting him be who he is, which is just an athlete out there, I think that's going to be something to look after. And like you said, how Coach Gainey had already said, with that year at the Power 6 level at Iowa State, he's not going to be new to this sort of pressure that comes from you. He's going to have a little bit, you know, more expectations. He's been there before, like you said. He's been able to walk it. He's been able to play at that level. So I think it should translate over pretty well, like you said. Maybe not that number one scoring threat on the offensive end, but somebody that can play that role if need be. Now, as for his effect, I don't think it'll be nearly to the standard that Dalton Connect left, where he's an instant impact. He's scoring 21 a game, scoring 25 a game in SEC play. I don't think we'll ever see that sort of production from transfer in or anything like that for quite some time. But I think him being able to play well against a higher level opponents, I think it's really going to be able to help maneuver him towards that SEC slate.
So now talking about the fit he'll have in this lineup, Dubar led the CAA in field goal percentage while placing 6th in scoring, 9th in three-pointers per game, 2.21. Number 10 in rebounding, number 10 in blocks per game. Also placed 6th in minutes average and 9th in defensive rebounding. In 2022, this past season, I should say, Dubar averaged 10.3 points. 2 years ago, 10.3 points, 4.8 rebounds per game for Hofstra, shooting another very efficient 40% from long range. His play added to the Pride's 25-10 mark in that season. So now talking about the fit in the lineup, I think he's ideal for at the starting four because he's got the experience. He's a guy that shoots the ball really well from three, and this helps space the floor. You know, you got a guy in Zakai Ziegler that loves to attack the basket, doesn't always necessarily looking to score at the basket, but likes to drive in. Having a guy at the four that can space the floor opens up that lane. So I think he fits in really well, especially as a catch-and-shoot three-point guy. Got the experience. He's done well in big games. I think at the four, he'll do really well. What do you say?
Yeah, I think the four is going to be pretty much an ideal spot there, especially starting four. Like you said, being able to stretch the floor on the offensive end and, you know, be very tenacious on the defensive end and not really having any lapses there, I think that's going to be one thing to look at. I think one thing he's going to have to adapt to regardless is maybe a bigger, more prominent role. I know he had a very prominent role at Hofstra, but, you know, with the bright lights of Tennessee and what that brings to his table, I think it's going to be something that's a little bit of a change. I don't think it'll be too much for him to bear, but still something for him to look at as well, just at a stepped-up role. Another thing is I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, we saw some different lineups from Coach Barnes and crew this season. I'd like to see him, you know, maybe roll with like a small ball five out there. I think him rolling at that center position, still being able to be a threat from deep could be huge, especially in games where, you know, you might have a dominant big man out there and guys like Estrella at the five are not really able to make much of a difference. If you're able to spread the floor like that with a smaller lineup and, you know, create shots from there, I think that's one other lane that he's going to be able to succeed in.
And real quick, talking about Igor Milicic, after signing of Dubar, Tennessee is now looking to enhance the roster with the Charlotte transfer. Milic has Tennessee among Baylor and Nebraska in his final potential landing spots. Milic visited Nebraska over the weekend, followed by Tennessee on Monday and Tuesday. He will conclude his visits with Baylor later this week before making his official decision. 6'10", 224, third-team All-ACC last year at Charlotte, 12.8 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, but making 56 three-pointers on 38% shooting. He's a guy, another guy that stretches the floor. We've never seen a guy like Milic come into Tennessee before, a stretch five. So I don't really know how the fit would work off the jump. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a guy that comes off the bench and can play some big minutes. So when I think of Milic, I think he can give you that three-point shooting, continue to space the floor. He had a really impressive dunk last year, too, that made shockwaves in the college basketball world. So got a little bit of an athlete in him, too. I think he's originally from Croatia. With a name like that, you kind of figure. but I think that he gives the Vols something we've never seen before. What do you see?
Yeah, I see the sort of the same thing. Like you said, we haven't really seen that stretch five get out there. So I think him being able to shoot the three, like you said, is going to be something that just adds a layer to that UT offense. I think he brings something to the table that, you know, we saw a little bit of from Adu a couple years ago. He was able to shoot the threes a little bit, but didn't really get that chance this year. And, of course, Tobe Awaka was mainly an enforcer big down low that was able to put a body on somebody. So I think him being more, you know, we talk about Jonas Adu being a finesse guy. This is sort of a step further in that direction. I think it adds, again, a layer to that offense that, you know, can stretch the floor, can open up opportunities, especially if you can, you know, work some ways with some screens and stuff like that, just off ball. I think it could work wonders for this offense. But the only big thing for me is, are we really wanting a smaller big? I think that's one, I guess, aspect that I'm not looking forward to. He's still, you know, 6'10 is no slouch, but, you know,
Slim frame.
Not being able to be as muscular as some of the guys that we've known down low over these past couple of years, it really brings to question, you know, is defense, if it does land this, what are you willing to trade off for offense and defense?
Yeah, I agree. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about how the 76ers cooled off the early heat in last night's play-in game when we return on Overtime.
When it's past high noon, it's time for a vodka soda made with a vodka you've actually heard of. I'm talking White Claw vodka soda made with White Claw premium vodka. JB Smooth only drinks vodka soda made with the world's smoothest vodka.
And you can too. Pick you up a bottle of the Triple Wave filtered vodka that's been distilled 5 times. White Claw premium vodka comes in 4 flavors. Black cherry, mango, pineapple, and just vodka. You haven't had vodka like this. No one has. White Claw premium vodka. Please drink responsibly.
Life is more fun with a Good Life checking account, offering extra benefits including bank travel. Join us for a trip to Mackinac Island for a stay at the beautiful Grand Hotel. Travel with us to southern Utah to witness the enormous, colorful, and unusual rock formations. Or join us on one of our many day trips. We're always on the go.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Are you ready to flash that dazzling smile? Well, look no further than Knoxville Smiles. Our experienced team is here to give you the care and attention you deserve. From routine checkups and cleanings to advanced cosmetic treatments, we've got you covered. Say goodbye to dental worries and hello to a confident, radiant smile. Don't wait any longer. Schedule your appointment today and unlock the power of your smile. Call 865-539-1776 to schedule your appointment today, or just visit KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Hey guys, it's Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast and Fan Run Varsity Spotlight. Yes, it's the Cookie Man, and I'm here to tell you about something sweet. Crumbl Cookies is the fastest growing cookie company in the nation. After only 4 years, 500 plus stores are in operation in 50 states, with many more in build out. Just a reminder to go see the Crumbl crew at Parkside Drive or Clinton Highway. And please, come check out the new location in Maryville, 1765 West Broadway, Suite C.
I was afraid to cut the cord, but once I did, I couldn't believe it took so long to do it. Paying too much for my cable bill had become a bad habit. I either wasn't getting what I wanted or never knew where to find any of my favorite shows until it was too late. Plus, the prices just kept going up. Thankfully, I discovered a new way to watch called Philo. For just $25 a month, I can catch all my favorite shows on networks like BET, MTV, and TLC. It even has Nickelodeon for my kids. I can watch anytime I want, anywhere I want. Plus, Philo lets me have up to 3 streams at once, so everyone can watch what they want at the same time. Throw in the unlimited DVR that saves all my favorites for up to a year, and this really is the best deal in TV. I just wish I hadn't waited so long. Sound too good to be true? Well, try it out for yourself, and you'll see why people who love TV love Philo. Go to philo.tv, that's philo.tv, and start your 7-day free trial now.
I get those goosebumps every time you come around.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Thursday afternoon. We appreciate you listening along with us. Pulling a little double duty today.
Yeah.
I'm usually not on the board here. So, you know, taking a little.
We're missing Dawson.
And this is a new board, too.
Yes.
So, you know, a little bit of a learning curve here. But let's head to the phones real quick. We've got Matthew on the line. Matthew, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how's it going? First-time caller, long-time listener of Overtime, and love what y'all are doing today. Can I just say one thing, though, before I ask my question?
Sure.
I know you were doing the drive earlier. You know, calls from Polish Joe like that just go to show that you're never going to be able to make everybody happy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you tell me about it. Back when, let's see, last year, I guess back in the fall when I was on Overtime with Jake, he would call in, and we seem to butt heads because I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things he says, and I'm not afraid to tell him that. And he called me an idiotic millennial, and a couple other words can't really say on here.
Right.
But you're right. You know, Tennessee had a really tough matchup against Purdue. Everyone knew that. You're going up against the number one player in the country, and Zach Edey, and. You know, Zach Edey's going to get his own, but you cannot allow Purdue to just to rain threes. And they were the top 3-point shooting team in the country.
Yeah.
So you had to pick your poison. You decide to guard Edey and push the guys off the perimeter. You did that really well. You were a couple possessions away from winning that game, a couple free throws for Purdue away from winning that game or being in a tighter game towards the end. So, yeah, you're completely right. Just shows that it doesn't matter how far Tennessee gets. Keep in mind, they were in the Elite Eight for the only second time ever. Yeah. People are still going to complain.
You know, and the thing, too, that goes into it is, like, when that bracket came out, when the tournament all was said, I think every rational fan would have said, make it to the second weekend. You've checked the box of what you should accomplish, you know, as the first goal, and then let the cards play out. And I think when we saw the potential matchup with Purdue, everybody would have agreed that probably Elite Eight is the ceiling. Final Four is probably also the very tip, because Houston was a really good team, and thankfully they got beat. But all that to say is, you know, the question I reached in here to ask you guys, and I'll hang up and listen, you know, everyone's been watching the videos and reading the reports today of Coach Barnes's quote about Jonas Adu and Tobias Walker entering into the portal.
Yeah.
And my thought process was, we all know that if, you know, if Tobe had waited versus Adu going first, I know it's not how it played out. It is interesting to look at it. But here's my question. Do you guys feel like Coach Barnes, I don't like to use this word, has a resentment towards Jonas Adu, but it was interesting when they quoted him today, you know, asking about Coach, asking about Tobe Awaka, you know, and he said, yeah, we'd gladly welcome him back, but we're not going to wait for these kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now it sits at it. I don't think they're waiting on Jonas Adu to come back. In fact, I don't think he has a spot on his team. So here's my question for you guys. If you can get a commitment out of Igor, and I hope I didn't say that name wrong.
Yeah.
Like in the next 2 to 3 days, let's just say Baylor doesn't happen. Do you take him and just tell Tobe Awaka, I'm sorry, hey, your spot's been taken, and I'll hang up on that. Take care, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate your call, Matthew, as always. Yeah, so a couple interesting, you know, points he made. So talking about the Rick Barnes interviews today, you know, Adu and Awaka were obviously going to be brought up. And my first thing is, I think that Barnes is tired of this. You know, he's been coaching for forever. He's never had to deal with kind of stuff like this, to where he's not only having to recruit players, he's having to recruit players on his own team to not leave. So, you know, you talk about the timeline of when Tobe announced he was in the portal, Adu announces he's in the portal. You know, Awaka, I should say, Awaka goes before Adu. Awaka, you know, is kind of told we're going to move in a different direction.
Right.
We're going to roll with Estrella and Adu, the two guys that are a little bit bigger, can stretch the floor a little bit better. And then Adu comes back. The consensus is that he's coming back. He likes his role. And basketball, in college basketball, that is, in 2024, you know, he goes back to his team. His team says, let's get a little bit more NIL money because now you have the leverage. And now he comes back and says, well, you know, give me a bigger deal. I'm out of here. And Barnes is like, do it. You know, I'm not playing this game of babysitter. So you mentioned Igor. And the thing with Igor is, I don't know if he's a five on this team. I think he's more a four off the bench. I know he's 6'10", but he's not necessarily a guy that's going to be, you know, banging down low. So I think there's an avenue for Awaka to possibly come back if he would want. Mm. I think they're more open to Awaka than Adu. Because when we talked to Justin Gainey on the drive a little bit ago, I was asking about JP Estrella.
Yeah.
And a couple of the answers he gave, you can kind of read between the lines. I think Barnes, the staff, they're over Adu. He said that Estrella was our best back-to-the-basket big last year in terms of scoring. You know, a little bit of truth to that. Adu had some good moments, but Estrella obviously plays a little bit different. And they expect really big things out of Estrella this summer. So reading between the lines, I think Adu's gone out of the picture.
Yeah.
Awaka, I think, could come back into the picture, could easily join this team, even if Igor commits, because I think Igor will be more of a four than a five. I know he's 6'10". Yeah. But he's a stretch guy, and you know he's not a guy that's gonna bang with some of these big guys like Hunter Dickinson, Armando Bacot, Klingon, Edie, and that's what you were lacking with Adu.
Yeah,
and even Gainey said, I think one thing we need to improve on next year is our interior offense, getting a guy that can put his back to the basket, and interior defense.
Yeah,
those are both things that Adu struggled with. I think he's gone. And out of the picture now. I think Awaka has an avenue to return. I don't necessarily know if Igor affects that, because I think he'll play the four. We appreciate your call, Matthew. Thanks for calling in, man. Anything to add?
Not really. I think, like you said, I think the door is closed on Adu. I think the way that he plays is very similar to how I think they're expecting JP Estrella to play. But if Igor was to commit here, I think the Awaka door is still open. I think he gives you a different look than any of the other fives in the room. He's not going to be, you know, the tallest guy, the lengthiest guy in the room, but he's going to get you some quality minutes. He's a beast on the offensive boards. He's going to give you a different look is pretty much all it is. And I think, you know, him still being I guess connected with the program right now, it seemed like the abruptness that Adu left on was pretty big for how I think Coach Barnes was feeling during that media, I guess, availability. So I do think the Adu door has closed, but I would really not mind Awaka coming back, being able to add just again another layer for that offense, and on the defensive end, just being a, you know, a big body that can get you some fouls when you need them.
Most definitely. All right, moving on into the association, the NBA play-in tournament last night, the Eastern Conference games. Now, not as intriguing as the Western Conference, right, but still some intriguing storylines from these games. We'll begin with the 76ers and the Miami Heat. A tale of two halves, an excellent bench play earned the Philadelphia 76ers the number 7 seed as they held on to beat the Miami Heat 105-104 in their play-in matchup last night, setting themselves up to face the New York Knicks on Saturday. With the loss, the Heat will play the Chicago Bulls, who were able to get it done against the Hawks. We'll talk more about that game a little bit later on in the next hour. They'll play the Chicago Bulls in a winner-go-home game on Friday for the final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Nicholas Batum,
yeah,
he heard the strays about playing in the fourth quarter. You heard that little diss track, that little the freestyle that guy did?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he goes, why the expletive is Batum in? You know, fourth quarter, why the expletive is Batum in? Well, he heard the noise. Monster game off the bench last night.
Yeah.
20 points, 5 rebounds. Joel Embiid really got it going when it mattered in that fourth quarter, leading all scorers with 23 on just 6 of 17 shooting. He's still rusty coming off that injury. He's still waiting to get going, but did add in 15 rebounds and 5 assists.
Yeah.
76ers went into halftime down 51-39, constantly booed by the Philadelphia faithful.
It's Philly.
Yeah, it's just how it rolls up there. As they had 12 first-half turnovers, with Miami scoring 17 points off of those. Their struggles were really predicted by Miami's zone defense. Miami came out of that zone, completely flustered the 76ers, as 8 of those turnovers for Philadelphia came against that zone. To start the second half, however, Philadelphia began to press up more defensively, relied on their bench. Miami had very few answers, already a very thin offensive group. They kept the game going with their late game heroics from Bam Adebayo and Tyler Harrow. But the 76ers' momentum just got too great, especially playing at home. And Philly's bench points, 36. And Batum made a pivotal block on Tyler Harrow late in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So really, my takeaways from this one, okay, had to wake up a little bit, realize you're in the play-in game at home. Joel Embiid is not 100%.
Right.
I think we expected that, but I think we expected a little bit of a better performance early on. But he got it going when it mattered, like the good players do, like the great players do. Embiid was able to get it going that fourth quarter. But Nicholas Batum really saved the Sixers' ass. They were struggling.
Yeah.
And Batum came in off the bench, 20 points. That's how you get back in the game. Those kind of performances are what win you games.
Right.
And, you know, Miami is already very thin. Jimmy Butler suffers an injury. Terry Rozier has been hurt as well. They're too beat up. And especially to have, you know, Butler go down late, you know, the Heat really struggled finding a way to counter what the Sixers were doing. A good win for the Sixers. Good second half, I should say.
Yes.
But a good way to find a way to win. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head on your first point there was, you know, Joel Embiid is still, you know, not what he has been. You know, coming off of that injury, we've seen him, you know, splash for these huge performances and, you know, 23, 24 minutes, still being able to put up so many numbers. But still, in this longer performance, weren't able to see what he's fully capable of. So that's still sort of a question, at least for the for the 76ers for now. I think, as you know, he gets more of his legs under him, is getting back in shape, I think, is a big thing too. I think that Joel Embiid should be able to, you know, help thrust this team to an upper echelon, especially going up against a Knicks team that, you know, is a little off man still without Julius Randle, going to be for the rest of these playoffs. And, you know, despite an off night for the most part from Embiid, you didn't get too much from Maxey either. I think catching him on an on night should be, you know, be able to lift them as well. But again, go back to Nicholas Batum being the unlikely hero. Shot 6 of 10 from three. I think that was a huge thing for them.
Yeah.
Getting the three ball rolling, and was able to space that out. And it just for Miami, you know, the volume that both Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero both had really didn't equate to, I guess, their output at the end of the ball game. So I think, you know, that mixture of two things with, you know, a guy off the bench for the 76ers who averages 5 points a game, goes off for 20, and then your big-time stars aren't able to put the ball in the net as much as they're used to. I think that's a perfect disaster for Miami to go down last night.
Yeah. The 76ers didn't just win their play-in tournament. They won the one that matters. This puts them into the playoffs as the number 7 seed, which is huge because now they avoid the Boston Celtics in the first round. The Knicks will be a tough matchup, no doubt, but they're not the Celtics. Who were unquestionably the regular season juggernauts of this season. Mm-hmm. They will take the train to New York and be back for the, you know, there for the next 2 weeks or so, or what might so be a coin flip kind of series.
Yeah.
Because no Julius Randle, granted, he's been terrible in the playoffs, but the Knicks are red hot.
Right.
But, you know, they don't have a guy down low. Mitchell Robinson was already out for the season. They don't have the depth now outside of Isaiah Hartenstein to defend Joel Embiid. You know, Jalen Brunson's going to have to do a lot for this team.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a really intriguing matchup between Brunson and Maxey. Maxey likely going to be the most improved player of the year.
Yeah.
And then Joel Embiid. So what does this mean for Philly? It means that you've got a favorable matchup in the first round. The Knicks are good. I'm not giving a straight to them. But they're, you know, they're not the Boston Celtics.
Correct, yeah.
If the Sixers play the Celtics, they're in trouble. I think if they play the Knicks like they will in this series, they can get it done and then play the winner of the Bucks-Pacers series. My opinion, most likely the Pacers. I think they'll beat the Pacers. Yeah. They've got a favorable path now to get Joel Embiid a little bit healthier, give him some more wind in. Because a lot of basketball is, too, when these guys come back from injury, it's conditioning. These guys got to get back in game shape. Joel Embiid missing 2 months, you know, 3 months, that's a quick adjustment to come back 2 weeks later. So I think this buys Joel Embiid some time to get back to that dominant force that he is down low and gives him a favorable matchup against the Knicks. Don't have to face off with the Celtics until possibly the Eastern Conference Finals. This is big for Philly.
Yeah, it avoids a probable what would be a one-and-done playoff run for the 76ers. I mean, like you said, being able to get Joel Embiid some more reps is only going to be bigger for the 76ers. And you get to go up against, like we said, a lower-manned Knicks team where it feels like Jalen Brunson is just about everything for that team. You get some big minutes from DiVincenzo. I know Josh Hart's been playing pretty well over the last month and a half. But beyond that, you're really starting to reach there. And like you said, this isn't a Knicks team to be overlooked. They're the 2 seed in the East. I mean, they rightfully earned that spot as well. But a much favorable draw for Joel Embiid and company. I think it's going to be instrumental because, like you said, the path lays out pretty good. If you're not playing the Pacers, you're playing against a Milwaukee Bucks team, which, you know, on the defensive end, like we've been hitting on, hasn't been the best whatsoever. And, you know, they've been sort of on a cold streak since getting Adrian Griffin out of town. So, and, you know, Giannis is going to be coming off an injury as well. So I think the mixture of that to being able to, you know, go against a lesser man team once again, it's going to just be pivotal for the 76ers at this point. I think that was the outcome that you needed, despite it getting a little, you know, I guess chewing your nails late in the game.
Yeah, a little hairy. You got a little hairy.
Yeah, got a little hairy. I think being able to overcome that, especially late despite a surge, was pretty big for him. I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah, very big opportunity for the Sixers ahead of them. All right, when we come back, we'll ask, do the Heat have enough offense for another Cinderella run in the NBA playoffs when we return on Overtime?
Rev up your savings at Volunteer Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
At First Bank, we're proud of more than 100 years of financial strength. But on game days, our numbers look even better. When they're lighting up a scoreboard printed on a jersey or in bold type on the sports page. We know there's strength in numbers, and nothing stronger than the bonds formed around local teams. And the return on this investment? Neighbors coming together again year after year. Bank where community is number one. First Bank. Bank local. Get more team spirit. Member FDIC.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics. Now is your time.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Thursday afternoon. We appreciate you listening along with us in Knoxville, Tennessee, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, I should say. Continuing our conversation on the Sixers and Heat game. The Heat had the 28th ranked clutch offense in the league this year, a major warning sign about the team's ability to execute through a slow-paced playoff game. Miami built a 12-point lead on the strength of a tricky zone defense that just completely messed up the 76ers early on, created easy chances in transition. Once Philadelphia adapted, however, Miami just could not generate enough scoring. And as I talked about in the last, before the break, was no Terry Rozier, Jimmy Butler gets hobbled.
Yep.
This team's already thin as is, and now, their offense doesn't have any way of getting generated. Other than Tyler Hero, Miami had next to nothing offensively, and that allowed Philadelphia to inch past them at the end. Really makes you think, Miami would have been so much better off swinging big for Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
And really, I think Damian Lillard would have been better off going to Miami. Made a really good fit for both of them, but that's neither here nor there. Going back to this matchup and the Heat going forward, now no Jimmy Butler. Do the Heat have enough offense for a Cinderella run? I don't think so. I know so. I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Not for a run. They could maybe get past the Bulls that are just not a good team with Eric Spoelstra coaching, but Billy Donovan's no scrub either.
Right.
But with the performance the Bulls put on last night, you could easily see how they just run away with this thing offensively.
Yeah.
I think that Heat do not have enough offense to even get remotely close to winning a series if they win on Friday against the Bulls. I think the Celtics will make mincemeat of them. Not enough offense for me. What do you say?
Yeah, especially without Jimmy Butler, it's really going to be hard for them to really get anything going. I know, you know, like you said, Bam Adebayo, you know, picked it up late game, but still only finished with 10 points. He was able to grab 12 rebounds, but, you know, grabbing 12 rebounds isn't going to win you ball games. Points are going to win you ball games. And, you know, when Tyler Hero's shooting 9 for 27 from the field, you really don't have too much to bank on. So I think whenever you look at it beyond that, you know, Kevin Love drops in 10, and you're really starting to reach down because Jaquez dropped in 15. You get some pieces like that rolling, I think you have a chance. But overall, with Jimmy Butler being out, that's such a huge hit on the offensive end because, like we said, playoff Jimmy has been some sort of, you know, a magician these last few years. Yeah. He's been such a big draw for defenses. And, you know, that's also allows other guys to get open. And you take that lane out, and you're still down Terry Rozier at the moment. I think it just takes out too much for that offense to get rolling, especially if you have off nights like last night. I really don't see this Miami team being able to compete against the Bulls, let alone anywhere close to how the Celtics have been playing.
Yeah, going more into that matchup now, the Heat will play the Bulls on Friday night in Miami, with the winner going on to play the Celtics in the first round. However, Jimmy Butler out, an MCL injury in his knee,
yeah,
out for at least
probably 2 weeks.
Yeah,
easy.
Out for a significant time, yeah, period. Won't be able to play this weekend. And then Terry Rozier also has been in and out of the lineup since January. Has missed 5 consecutive games with that neck. So two guys, two starters, likely not going to play on Friday. Will the injury bug prove too much to overcome? I say yes, because they don't have, yeah, enough offense. Bam Adebayo is great, but it's a tough matchup. He's got Andre Drummond,
yeah,
and Vucevic on the other side. Vucevic is a little finesse. Drummond's a little bit more bang.
Yeah.
Colby White was really good last night for the,
yes,
Bulls. I don't think he's going to have a performance like that again.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has something close to it, you know, 30 points, 28 points, I don't know if the Heat can counter that. Tyler Hero, really good player. I don't think he can put this team on his back. I think it's too much for them to overcome.
Yeah, I agree. I think with how, you know, how we saw the Bulls role players play last night, I know we're going to get into it later, but Alex Caruso also put in a very valiant effort. And, you know, whenever you put bigs like Vucevic up against a guy like Bam that's, you know, able to, you know, stretch the floor a little bit more, Bam's more your bang-it-down low guy. I think he matches up a little bit better with Drummond just because, you know, button heads is usually better than trying to reach for something. So
yeah.
I think on that aspect, it's really going to be hard to keep up, because if you catch Kobe White on another big game like that, like you said, I don't think it'll be anywhere close to that. But if he can put in a good 28 to 30 points at least, and you're still being down Terry Rozier or a Jimmy Butler that, you know, can play some defense and at least sort of combat that on the offensive end as well, I don't really think they're going to be able to keep up with a Bulls team that really, you know, put the pedal down on the Hawks last night.
Yeah. All right, so now going to – and you weren't here yesterday, so I want to get you in on this conversation. Your Lakers.
Yes.
Got a big one over the Pelicans.
Yes.
Give me your thoughts on that. We broke it down yesterday, mm-hmm, me and Dawson did, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Overall, I was pretty pleased. It was we were in here whenever it started, got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but, you know, we're able to stretch it out a little bit. Got a little bit worried whenever Zion just started pouring it on throughout the game. It was getting scary. I hate to see him go out, but it benefited the Lakers there, because I thought the Pelicans were really about to barnstorm the Lakers there and pull it out in New Orleans. So being able to go down there back-to-back games and pull out two huge victories is huge. I thought, you know, AD had an off night against the Pelicans, who this season he's been pretty solid up against. Didn't have the greatest day shooting from the floor, but you had some guys step up. D'Lo hit a really hit a three really late into that game, under a minute,
yeah,
left, that really sealed the deal. And you keep getting big minutes from Rui Hachimura. Torian Prince played well on both ends as well, was able to drop in a few points. And LeBron being, you know, playoff LeBron helped out as well. But, you know, we really didn't see too much on the offensive end from LeBron compared to his other performance, I guess that would have been Sunday. So I think, you know, the Pelicans played well enough to stop that. But, you know, every time we talked about it, seeing Brandon Miller get up against LeBron, I mean, he just got bullied down low as soon as that happened. So I think for the Pelicans, Zion is a huge loss looking forward. But it's exactly what I wanted the Lakers to do, get into the playoffs,
yeah.
Then worry about who you're going to play. I think your freshest legs against a great team like Denver is just going to help you out in the long run.
Yeah, you know, against the Pelicans, Lakers' three-point shooting I thought was the differential, 14
yes.
threes on the night to compared to the Pelicans' 9. My target was 15 going into
game.
Yeah. Lakers were 14-4 when they hit 15 or more threes, just one shy of that. But I thought the biggest thing in the game, LeBron struggled. You're not going to get a performance like that every night from him.
Right.
6 of 20 from the field, missed like 7 layups. You know, that doesn't happen. But D'Angelo Russell, Gabe Vincent, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves.
Yes.
Your collective pieces, 59 points combined for them. Gabe Vincent, I thought, was really, really big because he's been in and out of the lineup all year long due to injury.
I mean, he only hit, like, I think by the halfway point of that game, he hit his 4th and 5th threes of the entire year.
Yeah,
just been sort of, you know, stuck on the bench with that injury. So finally seeing him jump back up and be able to perform in such a high-stakes game like that, that was really positive to see for us, especially rolling into a series against the Nuggets.
Yeah, and D'Angelo Russell, what a story he's been.
Yeah,
it around. 2 or 3 months ago, he was on the trading block. Now, you know, he's putting up 21 points on 5-11 shooting from three in a really big contest, shooting a career high from three as well.
Yeah.
They're going to need D'Angelo. They're going to need Gabe Vincent in this upcoming series against the Nuggets, because last year against the Nuggets in that Western Conference Finals, D'Angelo averaged 6.3 points.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Bad.
Gabe Vincent wasn't there, but he did really well against Jamal Murray in the finals. They need those guys to show up, and I think Saturday is a huge game for the Lakers.
Yeah.
You go into Denver and get a win, it completely changes the series in the Lakers' projection.
Yeah, I think the one thing there is you got to go in and punch them in the mouth. That's got to be the first thing. You don't want to, you know, act like, you know, you're these big shots and, you know, we made it into the playoffs and be satisfied. The one thing you got to do is, you know, not be satisfied. You got to stay hungry. That's one thing that I think this Lakers team since the All-Star break has figured out. I think they know what they can be, and I think that's exactly what the light at the end of the tunnel is that they can beat anybody in this league if they all just sort of show up and play together. And, you know, even on off nights from Anthony Davis, like we were talking about, you know, overcome that, and I think going up to Denver, I think you just got to get them as soon as you can.
All right, when we come back, we'll give our best bets of the night. Stay right here on Overtime.
We make it easy to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks account. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Banking at CNB has its perks. Call or stop by a branch for more details.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Are you tired of the same boring workouts that don't get you the results that you want? Check out HotWorks. With infrared light therapy and personalized wellness options, you'll be able to get the perfect workout every time. With the hot yoga or any of the other isometric options at HotWorks, you'll feel the detoxification right away. Hop on over to 10839 Hardin Valley Road, or visit any of the other Knoxville locations to get started on your personalized journey.
At Wholesale Supply, we're more than just a plumbing, electrical, and HVAC supplier. We're your partners in success. Join our family of customers today and experience the benefits of partnering with us. Enjoy free local delivery so you can focus on what you do best, getting the job done. With wholesale pricing, you'll save big on every purchase. Plus, our fast, friendly support team is here to assist you every step of the way. Our vast selection from top manufacturers ensures you'll find everything you need all under one roof. To find a location near you, visit wholesalesupply.us for more. And remember, Wholesale Supply, open to the public.
A brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes golfing comfort. Crafted by a former pro and dedicated enthusiast just like you, our luxury performance wear guarantees you stay cool and comfortable through every swing and every day. We're not just a brand. We've set out to create a lifestyle for those who understand that impeccable style and premium performance are a hole-in-one. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Little CC on that beat. All right, back here on Overtime. Time for our best bets of the night slash the weekend, whatever you want to call it. Not a whole lot of action tonight, but there is action tomorrow in the NBA, and that's where I'll start. My first best bet is going to be the Chicago Bulls +1.5. As I said in the last segment, I don't think Miami has enough offense to overcome this deficit. Bulls looked really good last night. I don't know if they're going to be able to necessarily replicate that again against a stiffer Miami defense. But Miami just doesn't have the personnel right now. I'm going to take the Bulls at +1.5.
I'm going to the Western Conference for tomorrow night. I'm taking the Kings -1. I think New Orleans being without such an offensive and defensive presence of Zion Williamson is going to be huge, especially if the Kings can get role guys like Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes to step up like they did earlier this week. I think it's going to be huge because, I mean, we know what we're going to see out of De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. I think they go down to New Orleans and finish the job.
I will also take the Sacramento Kings -1, taking on the Pelicans tomorrow night in New Orleans. Sacramento, they're also undermanned in this one. No Kevin Huerter, no Malik Monk. However, no Zion Williamson really begs the question, you know, is Brandon Ingram are Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum going to be enough for this Pelicans team? Domantas Sabonis down low, I think, is a really big mismatch against Jonas Valanciunas, who's very finesse, doesn't really take the bump, or doesn't really give the bump. He takes it, I should say. So I'm taking Sacramento here. I think they're the better team, and I'm going to take them at -1, basically at a money line spot.
Yeah, pretty much. The other one I'm going with tonight, it's going to be Astros money line against the Nationals. Those are the two teams that are just not great right now in the MLB. The Astros are coming off of getting swept by the Atlanta Braves, currently sitting at 6-14 on the year. But, you know, I think Justin Verlander can get out there and shove like he has over these past couple years and finally get – Houston on track against a really not great Washington team. Even though it is on the road, I think the Astros, having Justin Verlander out there, I think it's bar none, should take this one tonight.
All right, and those are our best bets of the night. 865-288-3131 if you want to call in during the break to come be a part of our conversation. When we return, the Hawks can't stay on for the Bulls ride and much more here on Overtime.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch